that tomb on the stone. And the fat lady singing her song. And the preacher man, he beating them songs. And your favorite uncle squeezing your palm, saying if you be strong, hold your head up. Use a man now, so you gotta be grown. On that teaching that tone, got your inner fly zone where nobody can touch it. And them chickens can't pluck it. Cause you got
the Cable of the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Brainwashing of My Dad, will play Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. In The Brainwashing of My Dad, Jen Senko tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves and what responsibility the government has to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth. Filmmaker will be present at the screening. Again, that's The Brainwashing of My Dad, Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Andrei Codrescu. A warning to all listeners. The following program may contain profanity. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, Mr. Trump, you and the Republicans want to repeal Obamacare, but why would you do that before coming up with a replacement plan?
Because Obamacare is a disaster, and I actually do have a replacement plan, okay? I just read about it this week. It's a terrific plan, just great. It's called the Affordable Care Act.
That's the same thing as Obamacare, and if you repeal it, 20 million people will lose their health insurance. I mean, people could die.
Listen, sweetheart, I'm about to be president. We're all going to die.
In the Bewusstsein, dass die ewige Flucht der Erscheinungen nun mehr endgültig abgelöst wurde von einem ruhenden Volk.
Pence, Bannon, Kellyanne, how are you?
Sieg Heil, mein Führer.
Sieg Heil, mein Führer.
Oh, come on, stop yanking my chain with that Hitler stuff, you goofs. Hey, I gotta tell you about the experience I had last night after I went to bed.
You had a dream?
No, Kellyanne, you know I've never had a dream in my life. Who needs dreams when you've got $1 billion? No, this was an actual experience.
Don't you want to go over the legislative agenda first? This is the day we planned on ripping the heart and soul out of America.
We'll get to that in good time, Bannon. First, the experience. It's important because it changed my life.
How has it changed you, aside from changing your voice? You're sounding like some kind of Bernie supporter from New Hampshire.
Well, just shut up and listen, Pence, and I'll tell you. Last night, before turning in, I ordered a burrito from a taco truck that had been parked down at the White House corner ever since I moved in. Don't know why, I consumed the whole thing, and an extra helping of refried beans, belched and farted as usual, and laid down. Within minutes, I was awakened by this gorgeous woman with big melons, lot of teeth, and a set of tire chains she was wearing.
Wake up, Donald.
Who are you? Wait, it's you, my ex-wife, Ivana. Hey, what's with the chains you're wearing? I'm not into that S&M stuff anymore. Well, not chains anyway.
I am not Ivana. I am the ghost of America present. These are the chains I forged in life being married to an asshole like you. And please don't grab my pussy.
I'll try not to, but you can't be a ghost. All apparitions are stopped by the White House security guards before they can get inside. You must be a bit of undigested guacamole.
You will come with me to see America present right here in the District of Columbia. You're going to learn a few things they didn't teach you at that bogus military academy.
Can I get my coat?
Fuck that. Just throw that old Richard Nixon Memorial antimacassar around your rounded shoulders.
Where are we, Ivana?
Forget that Ivana crap. This looks like the Iwo Jima Monument.
Who are these guys wandering around this time of night with worried looks?
They are gay blades searching for companionship. They look worried because they fear the kind of bullies who support you.
Are there no gay clubs in town that will take them in, protect them, give them Mai Tais? Are there no all-night showings of The Sound of Music where they can sleep and grope each other in darkened theaters anywhere in the city?
No. Your evangelical vice president and racist homophobic attorney general have ended all that. And this is the last place they may huddle, or whatever it is they do down here.
Why here?
I've been told that they are attracted by the statue's burly men in bronze all grasping a somewhat phallic flagpole.
Oh, and what lesson is it I am being taught by this sight?
None. We're not supposed to be here. I had the GPS set for DuPont Circle, and it screwed up. Let's try again.
Hey, look. It's that homophobic bastard Trump. Let's get him.
Get him! Get that prick! Hang him!
Hang him!
Let me out of his fat ass!
But I meant them no harm.
No time for that now. Let's get the hell out of here. Okay, here we are. Look around.
Bunch of bums sitting around drinking cheap wine and smoking dope.
Look more closely. At the one over there.
Jesus Christ! It's my strategic advisor, Steve Bannon! Bannon, get your ass over here!
Oh, hi, Chief. What are you doing out here so late? Care for a slug of this 395 Merlot? A hit off this doobie? It's pretty good shit.
I repeat, what are you doing here?
Working undercover. Yeah, that's it. Working undercover to identify commies, pinkos, Obamans, Bernie bros. Bums, panhandlers, Wall Street occupiers, abortion supporters, Trump insulters, Scalia murderers, hands up, don't shoot demonstrators, black lives people, brown lives people, what have you. So when the time comes, we can scoop them right up and hustle them off to the concentration camps.
What the fuck are you talking about? We don't have any concentration camps.
Not yet. They take a while to build. They're under construction in Kansas. I thought I told you. Seek Heil, hail Trump.
Now knock that off. Ghost of America present, I've seen enough. Take me home.
Home again. Now I'm turning you over to someone who has seen it all. Let's hear it for the ghost of America past.
Yay! Yay!
Hello, folks. Hello, Donald. Where here I am, America Past. I'm the America you and your brainless followers think was so great.
Wait a minute. You're no ghost. You're my other ex-wife, Marla Maples. I would recognize those gorgeous knockers anywhere.
Just as I would recognize that weasel's nest sitting on your head. But come, look at your past. First, we'll stop in and visit your first wife, Ivana, one of the two bimbos from Czechoslovakia who married you, no doubt lured by your old man's inherited money, as I was.
Oh, yeah. Yvonne is the one I cheated on before I married you, but I just spent some time with her in the present.
Hey, get this straight. I'm a ghost. You didn't marry me. Ghosts are forbidden from marrying assholes like you, even when they're rich. So, you were visited by Ivana. Well, I'm sure she's had enough of you for one night. Let's move on. Oh, look what we're passing now. Trump Casino. Remember that? Boy, that was a really great American experience, wasn't it?
Well, no, I went bankrupt with that thing.
Amazing that anyone could run a casino into bankruptcy, isn't it? Especially someone who knows everything about anything. A guy like you. You really drew into an inside straight on the deal, didn't you? That one made you the fart of the deal.
Ghosts aren't allowed to be sarcastic, are they? Listen, that was a fluke. I've made tons of money by being a smart businessman. I'm a billionaire, for cripe's sake.
Yes, but you're not the self-made man you pretend to be. You were given your aunt by your father, a shrewd slumlord who made loads of money screwing over poor minorities. He's probably where you got your racism, too. It doesn't take all that many smarts to make $1 million turn into $2 billion over time, especially when you've got a bunch of friendly bankers easily convinced, through your guile, that you're a business genius. They also like the way you're so adept at screwing people over. Why, even a scumbag like you could do it. You're truly the Bernie Madoff of the property game. Here, have a Trump steak. Maybe this will make your trip down memory lane a little easier.
God, no. Get that thing away from me. Even my dog won't eat that crap.
Ah, here we are at the Halls of Ivy, Trump University.
I don't see anything.
Of course not. It's a ghost, too. Always has been.
But I did convince a lot of students to enroll, and that prepaid tuition brought in some big bucks. It worked to make me a success in academia, too.
Yes, just like Madoff was a big success in finance. His stock fund, like Trump University, was a big grift. You had to give all those students you enrolled $25 million as a settlement of their class action lawsuit. Cha-ching! Trumpy loses one more. And while the media won't say it, Trump University was just another one of your con jobs, wasn't it?
No more Ghost of America past. I've seen enough. I've seen that my America is not all that great, and neither was I.
Ah, so you've seen that your life has been one pathological lie after another. Well, I'm turning you over now to the great America of the future you have promised. You ghost of the future, take him away.
Dawn, honey, come with me. We're going to take a look at where your administration is going to take us.
What a frickin' mess! What is this? Where are we? Who are you?
I'm the ghost of America Future. In other words, the America you have made great again.
You look like my wife Melania, though with clothes on. But you don't have an accent.
Ghosts can easily look like Czechoslovakians, but without the accent. We're on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
You also look like one of the many hookers I have known. Then again, to me, most women look like the hookers I have known, except for the unfortunate ones who look like Rosie O'Donnell. And who's that guy over there? The one in rags sitting on the steps selling mouse pads. Why, it looks like my strategic advisor, Steve Bannon, again. Steve, what are you doing?
What the fuck does it look like I'm doing, shithead? I'm selling Donald Trump mouse pads. They've got your picture on them above the caption, "Hoover was my favorite president." Want to buy one? Only 2 bits. But wait, there's more. There's a free apple, a free pencil, and it comes with a small hammer you can use to beat on your face. They're selling, like, Donald Trump mouse pads with hammers.
Steve, come back to the White House. Let's get you cleaned up and back to work.
Hey, ex-president douchebag, you don't live there anymore. You've been impeached, and I don't work there anymore. Get the fuck away from me.
Future? What has happened? What is happening to me?
Your life has turned to shit. All your money is going into fighting lawsuits and maintaining an army of bodyguards. And look, over there.
Why, it's Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Mike Pence, all naked. Ugh. tarred and feathered and being carried on wooden rails to top angry people's shoulders. McConnell looks like some kind of fucking buzzard with all them feathers. But then he always did, didn't he? Why is this happening? Where are the police?
They're helping the crowd carry these guys to the tidal pool where they're going to dump them, hoping they'll drown. The cops are helping because they haven't had it so great since you got elected either.
Oh my God, Pence! Mike Pence! How did you end up here?
They caught me with my wife in a back alley. We were getting her an abortion.
But why are you doing that, an evangelical like you?
Because baby lives don't matter when they're half black. Even those who are born into the Pence family.
Future, why are Ryan and O'Connell being punished? What have they done?
Besides eliminating Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, environmental protections, and protections against Wall Street ripoffs, they invaded Iran and got us stuck in another unwinnable war. Cut out medical support to the wounded vets, destroyed the social safety net, forced half the population to run to Canada, and saw to it that the country continues to fall apart. Besides that, nothing, aside from bringing on the worst economic depression since 1928, millions are out of work. It got so bad, Mexico put up a wall to keep Americans from illegally moving there.
But the people doing the tarring and feathering, I recognize them. They're the same ones who voted for me.
Right. Looks like they've learned their lesson. Have you learned yours?
And so, Kellyanne, Bannon, and Pence, after last night, I've learned my lesson. No more tax cuts for the wealthy and no more gutting social programs. We're keeping Obamacare and making it better. This will be a new day in America. Call Bernie Sanders. I've got to give him the good news.
Sounds good, Don. But first, let's go up on the roof and start off the day with some fresh air. We'll drink in the view and quaff a couple of Bloody Marys.
Sure, why not? We can celebrate my reawakening. Yes, it's such a grand view from up here on the roof. What do you think about our bringing back those solar panels that Carter put up here and Reagan tore down? What a shit brain that guy Reagan really was, right?
Say, boss, have you ever looked at the Rose Garden from here? It's quite spectacular. You have to come over here to the edge to get a proper look.
Why, you're right, Kellyanne, it is...
Sorry, boss. Looks like you tripped.
Okay, Pence. It's all up to you now.
You have been listening to A Trump Carol on the Ubu Radio Theater Hour. Players tonight were...
Rolf.
Demi.
San Martin.
Tom.
Cat Meow.
Minji.
Das deutsche Volk ist glücklich in dem Bewusstsein, dass die ewige Flucht der Erscheinungen nunmehr endgültig abgelöst wurde von einem ruhenden Volk.
Oh my God.
Don't change that.
That dial because you are tuned to the Ubu Hour
Radio
Theater Show
on KU.
Isn't that something
you'd like?
Oh my God.
Something you've always wanted.
Ah, 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 ah.
It stood at the edge of a bridge in the central east side of the city. It was like a huge, dark, flat structure, 21 floors high, the hilt of a knife stuck into the heart of the city.
The Dre Apartments has 284 rental units that range from studios to one or two bedrooms. For $1,550 a month, this tiny 500 square foot studio could be yours.
An 800 square foot one bedroom with an outdoor patio will run you between $3,000 and $4,000 a month.
$3,000? Well, I just got a raise. I can do that. I want a view of the river. I want to look down on the rest of Portland and feel important. Give me a unit on the top floor.
The penthouse units rent for far more, but we have an available unit on floor 19.
Yeah, that might be, that might be high enough. And it's right on the river, and an easy walk to downtown.
It was known as the Darth Vader building. The original plans were for it to sparkle and gleam, but then something got changed. And now it was a huge dark shape at the edge of the river.
The incredible views. You're close to everything. Restaurants, boutiques, the views are incredible.
Not the view of anyone who lives even a dozen blocks away. All we see is that damn Darth Vader building. Downtown has vanished.
Look at all the amenities we offer. Access-controlled parking, dry cleaning, pickup and delivery, grocery delivery coordination, high-speed elevators, indoor maker workshop, indoor community lounge and event space, and we neighbor the iconic Burnside Skate Park.
With rents like these, you'd think you were in San Francisco or Boston.
Portland has long been a city of reinvention, its citizens time and time again demonstrating their ability to salvage the best of our heritage and remix it with modern innovation in surprising ways.
At Dre, you'll find the spirit coming to life with the best of urban living and green space, nearby mass transit and timeless concert venues, cutting-edge jobs and comfort food haunts, pop-up shops, and mom-and-pop storefronts.
John has just taken his co-worker, Kay, out for dinner, and now they walk to John's car.
It's good to see you again.
It sure is, Kay. You want to ride home?
Sure. We'll miss you down on the second floor.
I miss it too, but not the muddy.
And you moved? I noticed someone else living at the house.
Uh-huh. You want to come up and check out my new apartment?
Well, I guess so, if it's nearby.
Nearby? It's right here.
No? You moved into the Darth Vader building?
No, it's called the Dre, and you should see what it's like inside.
But it's an eyesore. It's like someone took an enormous shit in the middle of Portland.
Who cares what it looks like from the outside? You can't see the outside when you're inside. All you see is incredible views. I can see the river, downtown, and even Mount Hood. And here we are, access-controlled parking.
John pushes a button on his sun visor, and an automatic gate lifts up to let the car into the parking area.
See that? Access-controlled parking. That way, undesirables can't take our parking spots.
It feels kind of lonely and creepy down here.
Wait until you see my apartment.
This whole building feels creepy. Creepy and evil.
Nonsense. It's just concrete and glass and steel.
But it looks malignant. I can't explain it.
Inside, you can't see it.
And then we're in John's apartment, high up in the building. Inside, you can't see the building, but you can feel it. A massive, oppressive force that surrounds us.
Let me fix you a drink. Pretty sweet pad, don't you think?
How can you afford this place?
How can I afford not to live here? You only live once. I like being on top of the world. Check out the patio.
The oppressiveness of the building. I walk out on the patio to look out at the river. But the building is behind me, all around me. An enormous
enormous tombstone that commemorates the death of what Portland once was. A scary omen of what it will soon be.
Kay walks back into the apartment. She sips her drink while she and John talk. One thing leads to another, and they are in bed.
Maybe I won't think about the building if we're making love. Maybe I won't feel the dread of being in here.
The building was a huge middle finger to all those who drove into town from the east. Before you reached the bridge, it was huge in front of you, filling your vision.
Yes, it was there to inspire. If you work hard and succeed, maybe you too will live here someday. It was an edifice to accomplishment and determination. Those who work hard will be rewarded.
It was a middle finger to the poor people who lived east. It was a big fuck you that one had to pass every time one wanted to enter the city by that route.
Well, one might think that if one hates the fundamentals of capitalism and what this nation was founded on, but let's get on with our story.
The Dre offers an exclusive resident pricing to Snot Springs Spa and Fitness, located on the fifth floor. Experience a completely reimagined, comprehensive, and social approach to wellness. Hot springs-inspired soaking pools, steam room, sauna, massage, acupuncture, and acupressure treatments.
And who can afford that after you've paid the exorbitant rents?
Offering transformative and restorative fitness classes and personal training, including HIIT, TRX, and Performance IQ, yoga, Pilates, barre, and more.
John is working out in the gym. He notices a woman who looks almost perfect. And then he sees her again at the elevator doors.
You going up?
Sure thing. All the way up to the 19th floor.
19th floor? How do you like it?
Nice. You should come up sometime and see the view.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quite pleasant.
And here comes the car. What floor are you on?
21.
The top floor?
Uh-huh. You should come up sometime and see the view.
John was impressed. The top floor, the penthouse suites. The woman awed him.
So, mister, two floors down, what's your name?
John?
My name is Helena. Maybe I'll see you around, John.
John wanted to talk to her again. The top floor. The next time they meet, she invites him up for a drink. Her apartment is far larger than his, and view spectacular.
Here's your drink.
Thank you, Helena. Even your patio is much bigger than mine. What does a place like this run a month?
You could have one of the penthouse apartments, too, if you make the right connections. It's all a matter of doing what it takes.
Yeah, I want to be that person.
We've entered a new era, John. An era of winners and losers, and no one in between. Now, we have a winner in the White House. The winners will have wonderful lives, and the losers will have nothing. We will take everything away from them in our new era of greatness. Why should the losers weigh us winners down?
You're right, Helena. The losers just want to complain and mooch off the system. They can't accept the fact that we are in a different age now.
Let's drink a toast to the winners.
To the winners.
You want to fuck me, don't you? Come on. I know what you are thinking. Well, let's do it. Out here on the patio.
Not inside?
No, out here. We are winners, and we can do whatever we want. We're on top of the world.
Yes.
return Kay's calls, but then she sees him leaving the office.
Hi, Kay. How are you?
Fine. I tried to get a hold of you.
Been really busy. You know how it is when you're in management.
No, I don't know how it is. I'm still down on the third floor. Still the same old shit down here.
Let me take you to dinner. There's a fancy new restaurant that opened up. It's great to see you again.
John had forgotten that he liked Kay. He liked being with her, and he liked the several times one thing led to another, and they had made love.
Maybe I can make love to her tonight, too.
He thinks to himself.
You want another glass of wine, Kay?
Of course she'll want to make love to you. You are a winner, John.
Poor Kathy. Her kid got kicked out of school, and then her car broke down.
That car was a piece of shit. And she's kind of a wreck herself, a useless life, flailing at futility.
Excuse me.
Her kid will probably end up the same way.
John, that's not nice. She's had some bad breaks.
That's like saying she's not responsible. People should take responsibility for their lives. The only reason one has bad breaks is because one makes bad decisions. Have some more wine, Kay.
What has happened to John? He's acting weird. He's saying mean things about people. He looks the same, but it's like another person inside.
Come on, Kay. Don't be upset. Sorry I said that about Kathy. I didn't mean it.
She's acting like a crybaby. I need to get her more drunk before I take her upstairs.
I think I want to go home.
Home? You don't want to come up and see the view?
Sina, maybe we could talk again when you aren't so drunk, John. I just need to go home.
I can give you a ride. You don't have to take the 20 bus.
No, I'm fine, and you're too drunk to drive. Later, John.
And there she goes. Maybe I should have been more forceful with her. How can she treat someone like me this way? I'm a winner, and...
Hello, John.
Hi, Helena.
Who's your... friend? The woman who was eating with you.
I don't know if she's a friend anymore. A co-worker.
Is she a co-worker? Or is she on a lower run of the ladder than you?
Well, yeah. I got promoted to management, and she's still down on the third floor.
Then she's not a co-worker. She's a subordinate. And you must never think of her as anything more. Let's go up to my place and have a nightcap.
Once again, John finds himself in Helena's penthouse apartment. I knew we were soon to meet. I know everything that happens at the Dray because it is my realm.
To meet a friend of mine. He lives here on the top floor as well.
A friend?
Yes. His name is Dar. He actually owns this building. He has the biggest, most expensive apartment in the place.
He must be a very wealthy man.
You need to drop your old friends. You can't let those losers pull you down. You are now with winners.
John follows Helena down the hallway to the door of another penthouse unit. This is the one that belongs to Mr. Thader, owner of the Dray. Helena knocks on the door.
He might be out on the patio. His suites are so big, he might not hear us knocking.
You have the keys?
I sometimes do work for him.
John was awestruck when he followed Helena into the spacious apartment.
Dar, are you here? This way.
He sits out on the balcony with a large black respirator over his face. He looks up when he sees them. He stands up and enters the apartment.
Hi, Helena. Excuse me.
He shuts the door to the patio and then removes the respirator from his face.
Enough of fresh air. Hi, Helena. Hi there.
Here's the one I was telling you about, Dar. His name is John. He lives down on the 19th floor.
It's nice to meet you, John. You're probably wondering about this breathing device. I don't trust the air outside. I don't like breathing it unless I have this contraption filter it. There are poisons in the air.
From Dar's place, one can see both rivers or Mount Hood.
Best view in the city, I'm telling you. But let me show you both my latest plans. Come this way and you will see.
They walk across to another room. A window looks east, across Inner East Side, Portland.
This is what I have planned. This window will project over the view what the neighborhood will become. I turn this lever and voila! Look at that. Oh, that's what the East Side will look like in the next decade.
That's beautiful. Dozens upon dozens of towers. Just like this one, all across the area, one after another.
That's right. We'll be like a real city. And think of the rents we can get as we maximize profits for each plot of land. Of course, none of them will be quite as many floors as this one. By the time that happens, we'll build another 30 floors on the dray.
You're a genius, Star. John, what do you think?
I'm speechless. It's beautiful.
I look out at the army of towers stretching up to 12th Avenue and even further. And then I think what Kay would say.
There's no more sunshine. All these big buildings block out most of the sunlight. The streets are dark and on shadows, no stars of the day. The people who work down here have to toe in the shadows.
You don't understand, Kay. There's plenty of sunlight up here on the upper floors. Maybe if you worked hard or making enough money, you could afford an apartment up here.
That's right. Why should everyone have access to sunshine? Once a commodity is monetized, it can help strengthen the economy and create new opportunities for the entrepreneurial spirit upon which this country was founded.
New opportunities. It will open up new opportunities.
It's wonderful. I can't wait for the future.
We need more people like you, John, in this city. We have too many slackers and complainers and protesters and moochers and takers.
A week later, John and Helena are driving back from a fancy restaurant. They are at a stoplight.
John, that looks like that girl I saw you with at the restaurant a week ago.
No, I don't really know. It might be.
It is. I can tell from here on the bike.
Who cares about her? Maybe I'll sideswipe her when we go past her.
Why not? She's like most people. No better than animals. But we're winners, John. We are winners.
Ow! What the fuck? What the fuck's your problem, asshole?
You sit there and think about what you've done.
This radio drama is titled The Dark Tower. It was written by Rolf and performed by...
Demi.
San Martin.
Rolf.
Minji.
Larry.
Cat Meow.
Tom.
The preceding radio drama is a work of fiction, and any resemblance to real people or buildings is purely coincidental.
Yeah, all right.
What now, little brother?
Gulf eclipse, and the numbers came.
35, 47, 97, 52.
buildings tower, the light comes.
And you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
To know the source of such things is to know our place in the world.
It's January 2019. The setting is the year-round office of the President of the United States at Mar-a-Lago Resort in Miami Beach, Florida. President Trump is meeting with his closest advisors, Chief of Staff Steve Bannon and White House Counsel Rudy Giuliani. He's discussing his run for a second term.
Look, you can't do this. You've pulled off some crazy things, I admit it. But this is way, way over the top.
Listen, Steve, nothing is over the top. Haven't we proven that? I'm the guy who swore he'd build the wall and make the Mexicans pay for it 3 years later and it's still not built and no one gives a shit. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you too, amigo.
Okay, so we've got other ways to lock those wetbacks out.
And I'm the guy who said he'd wipe out ISIS in 30 days. Remember that? And where is ISIS now? It looks like they control Detroit. And they're getting very strong in Chicago. Even Mad Dog is done with them. But who cares? ISIS will be around for the next 1,000 years. Go get yourself a prayer rug, my friend.
Yeah, but
fuck yourself. Get used to it. I am still on top of this game, and it does not fucking matter at all what I do. That's the great thing about this job. I can do anything. Don't you get that, you loser?
Okay, let's say you can get away with anything, as far as your voter base is concerned. But now we're talking about party politics. I know you just don't give a shit about that, but it's important in some situations, and it's definitely important if you are thinking about running for re-election as a Democrat after serving as a Republican president for 3 years. No, correct that. You will be running as a Democrat while serving as a Republican president. It can't be done. It makes no sense. It's probably unconstitutional.
You know, Steve, I'm beginning to think after 3 years of flogging the media, lying to those lying bastards, tracking every phone call and move they make, that you are actually starting to think like them. You're seeing the downside, but believe me, there is no downside. Am I right? Look at me, am I right? Of course I'm right. I've been right from the beginning. Stop the Morning Joe chit-chat and get on board here. Up is down, down is up. It's whenever I Twitter. How many times have I told those clowns at the FAA to either reroute those planes or close that airport altogether? I swear, I'm going to cut their nuts off. Bureaucrats. Worthless shits. Why can't I get them under control?
But that's the main runway for Miami International.
All right, okay. Let's bring Rudy in on this. He'll be up for it. I've always been able to count on him, no matter how crazy the idea. He's like that little kid who always had to try the cereal, Mikey. Remember that? I miss that kid.
Buzzer door opens, closes. Footsteps approach. Rudy enters.
Rudy! Rudy, I love you, Rudy! You are doing a great job. Great job, I really mean that.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. President. And I'm nothing. Whatever I've been able to get done, it's because of you. But I still think we should lock that bitch up.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I love about you, man. You are a tough hombre. Seriously, though, I want to get your opinion on something. I'm thinking of running for re-election as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Great idea, right?
Yeah, that's got a lot of merit. I must say, I never would have thought of that. But talk me through it.
Sure, good. I knew you'd like it. I know I can count on you all the time, no matter what. First of all, I have always hated the Republicans, especially Ryan and McConnell. self-righteous pricks. They're no better than that clown Reed, the Utah guy. You can't trust any of them. You know, I was a Democrat from the beginning, always loved the Dems. Even Hillary was a very good person, very good. It was her own party that schlonged her. In fact, I want Chelsea to be my VP. She's cute and smart. I know I turn her on, and she even came on to me at her own wedding. She came on to me at her own wedding. Can you believe that? That's just how the Clintons operate. But the Republicans, my own so-called party, now they are out to get me. I have inside sources, very inside. You know, those guys can't unzip their pants that I don't know about it, believe me. The impeachment process is on and the word is out on the Republican side to dump me. Those fuckers still haven't learned what this is about. I can do anything, anything, and come out clean. How many times do I have to pull their pants down? Amazing.
Oh yeah, you're right. They hated us from day one, and now they see an opportunity to take us down and run some clown like Little Marco. I love that you pinned that name on him. Oh, I'll never forget that debate when you nailed all those assholes one at a time. But you know, there is some legal issues that could get in the way. You're under indictment in 12 states for interest conflicts, contract disputes, sexual misconduct charges. What else? Oh, that thing about you killing a guy in broad daylight on Fifth Avenue last week. You were right. He was just some unemployed actor showing disrespect. Fucker deserved to die. Of course, we have the White House legal staff and the entire Justice Department plus 10 personal lawyers working full-time on defense strategies. And we will come through this fine, believe me. Yeah.
Okay, Rudy. Enough with the negatives. You're starting to sound like Steve. I need to do this to round out the Trump brand. It's okay to be a Republican. It's better to be a Democrat in some ways, but to be both? That's the best, man. And once I do this, I can do anything. Anything! I am thinking, get this, in 4 years I will run for the head of the Chinese Communist Party in Shanghai or wherever those guys hang out, and I'll get 6 billion votes. They will love me there. They will absolutely love me. I will win even if the elections over there are fixed, which we know they are. Those commies are organized, that's for sure. I'll win anyway. I can fix elections, too. I can absolutely do that.
You lost me there, Mr. President. Why would you want to take over the top spot in China? Seems like a thankless job, and, well, you don't actually speak Chinese, do you?
You don't really get it, Rudy. It's not Chinese. It's Twitter. It's like fucking Esperanto. This will be a win-win for the American people, an idea no conventional politician would have the guts to put forward. If I am holding the top job in each country, and believe me, I can do it, then I will be able to negotiate those trade agreements and other stuff with myself. Fuck the Democrats, the Republicans, the Chinese Communist Party. My base will love this. I can sell them some of our excess nukes. I can get myself a TV series over there. What a market. I can...
Trump is alone. Advisors have left. His son walks in.
Dad, you gonna run again next year?
Sure. I figure, why not? It's fun, right? And you know, kid, I think you should find yourself a new squeeze. Maybe one from China.
This has been Presidential Rerun, written by Tom Flynn and performed by Rolf,
Demi,
San Martin,
and Tom.
I now open this monthly meeting of the Dilworth, Rhode Island Town Council. For the benefit of the audience, I will explain we are omitting our usual opening ritual of reciting the Pledge of Allegiance until the Dilworth Police Department apprehends the person or persons who absconded with our flag. Instead, we will move immediately to our newest practice, our brief struggle session.
Mayor Greinke, may I make a suggestion? You might perhaps explain to folks who haven't attended previous council sessions what exactly a struggle session is.
Certainly, Councilman Binky. The struggle session is something we have adopted from the Chinese. As you may know, the Chinese have made great economic and social strides in the past 10 or 20 years, while we here in Dilworth continue to witness the collapse of our industries, stores, and services. They credit their use of the struggle sessions with encouraging greater efficiency and honesty in their government and industry. We figured if it works for those slanty-eyed devils, why not for us? In a nutshell, it is a session where we concentrate on one member of the town council at a time to bring light to areas of his or her thought or behavior that we see as being open to improvement. The target of our criticism, as it were, should benefit from such a session by seeing the error of his or her ways and eliminating all reactionary thoughts. Other council members will benefit from observing the target's example. This will be our first struggle session, and we have chosen as our first recipient of the honor of being our target, the man we consider most in need of improvement, Councilman Ted Flegel.
I'm looking forward to this.
Really? Not the response I expected, but bravely said, comrade. Then let's begin. Who wants to go first?
Me!
Okay, Councilman Phil, you go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Ted, as most of you know, is a good friend of mine. He was firm in his support of the transportation bill I proposed last year, and he's been very kind in occasionally lending me a sawbuck or two, or buying me a bottle of schnapps, and commiserating over Beverly, my wife, leaving me for a younger man last month. But the one criticism I have of him is the way he blows his nose directly on the carpet of the council chamber, presses it into the rug with his shoe, and then rubs the dripping snot off his face with his coat sleeve. I find that pretty damned repulsive.
Thanks, Phil, for bringing that to my attention. I hadn't known it was offensive to anyone here.
Damn right it is. What annoys me more, though, is the way you play with yourself under the cover of your desk. You must think nobody is looking, but everyone knows you're doing it. Several visitors have remarked on it unfavorably.
Yeah, that's right. I almost forgot about that.
But don't we all do that?
No, only you and the mayor.
Well, some of the proposals that are brought up in meetings get me all excited, and I just have to relieve myself.
Can't you wait until you get home to relieve yourself?
I do it again at home, too, but I find I need immediate relief.
Well, why don't you just go into the bathroom to relieve yourself like everybody else does? That is, all but you and the mayor.
I wondered why people were going to the bathroom so often. Okay, I'll try that from now on. Anything else?
Yes. Ted, last meeting you called me Councilman Binky, a fucking little shit-faced Polack weasel. And it really hurt my feelings. Hell, I'm not even Polish, and it still hurt.
You rubbed me the wrong way.
Is there a right way to rub you?
I guess that's a question I've never asked myself.
Well, you should.
We have someone in the audience who has a comment.
Yes, I'm that guy's wife, Mrs. Ted Flegel. I want to point out that Ted Flegel is a disgusting person in a thousand ways, but especially at the dinner table. He shovels the food into his gaping maw, as if somebody is out to steal it from him. Then it dribbles out of his mouth onto his plate and the tablecloth. He's at his worst when he talks with his mouth full, spewing mashed potatoes all over everyone at the table. A real pig he is.
Hey, wait a minute. Family isn't allowed to participate in this, are they?
Anyone who wants to pile on is welcome.
Well, I've had enough.
According to the rules of the struggle session engagement, the target never gets to say when enough is enough.
There are rules for the struggle session?
Yes.
Okay, what's the first rule of the struggle session?
There's no talking about the struggle session outside the council chambers.
I might have known.
After hearing all this constructive criticism, I can only assume you feel chastened, I hope. Councilman Flegel, do you? Will you now legislate with greater efficiency, candor, and honesty?
Probably not. And what are you going to do about it?
We shall move to Rule 4 of Struggle Session, which states, those whose behavior is not improved through the dialectic of constructive criticism shall undergo Stage 1 punishment.
Which is?
50 lashes with the bullwhip. Tie 'em down, boys.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't run for a seat on the town council to be whipped.
Tear off his jacket, tie, and shirt. Arturo, Binky, you keep the count.
Right. 1.
Ow, Jesus Christ, knock it off.
2.
Ah, come on, this has gone far enough.
3.
Ah, please stop. Okay, I promise to do better.
Okay, he's done. Is he still breathing? Untie him and carry him across the street to the bar. Ladies and gentlemen, the council will now recess for about an hour. We will all refresh ourselves with libations while we get Councilman Flegel back on his feet. I think that the Dilworth Council has embarked on a shining path in this town's class struggle, and we can all look forward to a town council that is going to be one powerhouse of a governing body in the future. Comrades, okay, let's break.
Yay!
Please, somebody call an ambulance.
The Struggle Session is a presentation of the Ubu Radio Theater. It was written by M. Watson Dodge and performed by
Larry,
Rolf,
Cat Meow,
Minji,
San Martin.
Of things.
Things would break.
What kinds of things?
Things would break.
What kinds of things?
Has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
And if you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu,
spelled U-B-U, hour.
And we'll see you next month. Thank you for listening.
And that's a wrap. Another half minute of music, and then it will be time for Joe Wood and his tacky cha-cha club.
This is Love Jones, producer of the world-famous Confessional. This year, Contessa de la Luna brings you a real, bona fide Wild West jamboree and variety show. We've got live performances by Contessa de la Luna and Courtney Vondrell from Three Leg Torso, plus audience lasso contests, sock puppet theater, surprise fun box drawing, many other prizes. We've got performances by the Sea Charms and a selfie booth with Contessa de la Luna. We've got plenty of surprises and fun in store, so mark your calendars Thursday, February 9th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds benefit KBOO, your community radio station. Tickets are available now online at ContessaWestern.BrownPaperTickets.com or at the door the night of the event. Get your hat, get your spurs, and come on down Thursday, February 9th at the Clinton Street Theater starting at 7 p.m. Contessa de la Luna's Wild West Jamboree, an old-time variety show.
Tiki Cha-Cha Club.